Day in the junior church, too. How many kids did we have in there? A heap load? A lot? Amen? Oh, good. I wasn't recording. We're all right. So make sure you say thank you to all the people that helped out there, and joy to be able to watch you guys serve the Lord together. All right, let's turn our Bible to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs 12 this evening, just one verse. Proverbs chapter 12, we're going to look at verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 1, we'll begin reading, and let's see if I can do this. All right. All right, Proverbs 12, 1. Tonight's title of the message is Loving Instruction. And as I prepared for this message early this morning, I was going over this afternoon again, just before we started this. Verse number 1 is a striking verse, and you know, there's a lot that we can learn from Proverbs, and certainly in the study of Proverbs, I'm not breaking down every verse. We're not looking at every aspect of every verse. We're just trying to pick out certain glimpses. And I don't know about you, I read my Proverbs a day, every day. I read the proverb of that day, and so you know, when we get up in the morning, if it's the 25th, I'll get up tomorrow. And I'll read Proverbs 25, and then so on, 26th on the 26th, and so on. And it's a really good way to do it. And what I'm looking for, I've done this for years, I've read Proverbs through many, many times, every 30 days, so 12 times a year. And you would think, boy, you certainly have got it all memorized. And I've done this for probably 20 years now. And some of you maybe more so. But here's the thing with Proverbs, there's always something you can get from Proverbs. And it's not always the same thing. It's not always the same verses that God pulls out for you. But that's kind of how we're doing the Proverbs each week through this, is we're looking for maybe key verses or key words or things like that. Yes, sir?
Do you also do the Psalms?
I do, yeah, very regularly. Not as often as Proverbs. Definitely, you can find, as we read these passages, especially this one, we're not trying to learn everything about the book, because there's a lot that, I don't know if you know Proverbs, it's almost as if it's a shotgun. It seems like sometimes it's there, and then it shifts gears over to here, and then over here, and then there. So what we want to do when we read the book of Proverbs, in my opinion, read it to grab something. Look for something to take home with in your personal Bible reading. That's what we want to look at. And Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 1 is no different. That's the verse we're going to focus on today. The Bible says, "Whoso loveth instruction, loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish." And so let's pray and ask God to bless this evening service. Heavenly Father, we come before you now in this time to get into the Word of God one final time. We're with grateful hearts. We've had a full day. We've had the Sunday school, the morning service. We've had food put into our bellies and dessert to sweeten us up. And we've had activities and excitement. Now, Lord, we pray that we'd settle in one more time to hear from you. And may you bring this Word alive today and find out what it is, what it means to be instructed in the Lord. And then, Lord, what it means if we reject that instruction. And help us to understand this, Lord, and it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Now, the Word of God says, "Whoso loveth instruction, loveth knowledge." And so the first thing we should look at when we look at this verse is, what does it mean to love instruction? For instance, we have some educators in here. April is an educator, and she goes out and gives instruction to those kids, probably Monday through Friday, and then a little on the side, I bet, even, you know, sometimes. And so any other instructors in here? We know Liz works in the field of instruction as a the distance learning folk there, making it happen. We have our homeschool moms, of course, Melinda Instruction. She's only been teaching for, 30 years now? Not quite. 30, we didn't start right away, but you know, we've been doing it a good long time, teaching the kids all the way up through high school and stuff. Instruction is an interesting word, and we should consider what instruction means. Does anybody know what instruction, in your own words, and this is more of a Bible study tonight, what would you assume instruction means? Sammy's all ready to go, I can tell, right there. No, go ahead. Anyone this evening, give me an idea. What do you think instruction means? Direction, all right. To teach someone to know how to do something. Those are good. I mean, the YouTube video instructions right there. Amen. Yes.
Leading,
okay. Guiding, yes. Guidance, all right. We've got leading, guidings, teaching, instruction, and such. Anybody else, something? All right. I'm going to give you the definition. And I didn't know that till I did the study, what this means. The word means properly chastisement. Now, it's going to change the whole feel of this thing. It means properly chastisement, figuratively reproof, warning or instruction, also restraint, to bond, chastening, chastisement, to check, to correct, to discipline, to doctrine, instruction, or rebuke. So many of the definitions are not just guidance, not just teaching, but it's actually correction. And if you want to think about it, that is how we learn many times. For instance, you take a test, and you turn that test in to your teacher. Maybe it's a spelling test. Any spelling bee experts here? Anybody good? Mrs. Gills got pointed out as a spelling bee. Anybody win a spelling bee in high school or elementary school? No. You did? You won a spelling bee? Very good. I always got out about the first or second round, and it was a lot easier that way. Amen. I won't go into telling the jokes, but you know, when you spell cat with a K, you get out quickly. Amen? That's with a K too, quickly. All right. When you're turning in that test, when you're turning in they correct it. They maybe even chastise it a little. They say, you failed in these areas. Now, of course, it's not in a negative sense, but we learn from negativity in some aspects. We learn from our failures probably more than from our successes. How many of you wish you would have put gas in the car one exit before? Amen? And that teaches us something, does it not? You don't have to elbow anybody, right? But it teaches us, oh, maybe next time I'll be more prepared for the test. I remember years ago I was driving my motorcycle. I was on the 10 freeway. And, you know, you always have that reserve tank. If you ever ride a bike, you got your main tank and you can flip the switch. And I was running a little late on time and I saw the gas station. I said, nah, I can make it another exit. Don't know why. I just decided I could. And I thought, well, I'll make it. And if sure enough, I pass the exit and my bike starts to cut out. I say, no problem. I'll just switch it to the reserve tank. Unfortunately, either the valve didn't work or something, but there was nothing in the reserve tank, and I ended up dying right there on the freeway because of a failure. I was corrected. I was given instruction. I was given instruction on how to live my life a little bit better. Now, if it gets under half tank and I have the money on these trips that we go on, half tank, let's pull over and get some gas. Amen. I don't like to get in the half tank or quarter tank or something and then find out the next gas station isn't for 120 miles. That's when prayer comes in. Amen. Instruction can be guidance, it can be direction, but it can also be as a part of correction, of changing, of warning somebody to go a certain direction or to change directions. In the passage we see that we are to look at instruction and in our lives we are to make it personal and make it to where it helps us in our walk. In the passage, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge. So this morning, or evening rather, I have just a few thoughts on instruction and how it can help us in our daily walk. Number one, if you were taking notes, write this down. Look where instruction comes from. Now, we can get instruction from a lot of things. If I were to go to, I always use the example, if I were to go to Bill Gates, he probably could give me good instruction on how to use a Windows computer. Maybe not so much an Apple. I'd be curious if Bill Gates has an Apple computer at his house or not. But, if I wanted to learn how to use a computer, I could go to Bill Gates, and he would give me instruction in that area probably. If I wanted to learn how to fix a car, how many YouTubers are out there, right? All right, me and Johnny, we get out there, and if I want to learn how to fix a car, it may be an area I've never fixed, I'll go on YouTube. And I'll watch them, and I'll see from some mechanics, even sometimes some shade tree mechanics, on some ways to fix a car, and I'll gain instruction from them. If I want to know how to cook, last night we were making pies. There was pies coming out of our ears. There was Julia made a pie, Joshua made a pie, Daniel and Nicole made a pie, and such. And many times they pulled up, what is that old-fashioned thing you pull up? A recipe. Oh, yeah. Now, Julia, she didn't do hers with the recipe. She just kind of, I can do this, and she made an excellent pie, by the way. But we sometimes will pull up the instructions on how to do it. How many people cook by instructions? Doesn't matter what it is. I get cream of wheat out. Guess what I do? Cream of wheat. Pull out the instructions. I don't want to mess this one up. Amen? Got to get the salt right. Got to get the water right. Got to get just the right amount of cream of wheat. And then we get our good product. The truth of the matter is we need instruction. But in context here, we're not talking about the instruction from Bill Gates. We're not talking about instruction from YouTube. We're not even talking about instruction from a recipe book. Those are instructions. But when we're looking at this here, in context, it's talking about the instruction from the Word of God, the instruction from a father to a son, if you will, from the Heavenly Father to His children. And the Bible says we need to understand the instruction is coming from the Word of God itself. And so we need to look at that as the place where we gain instruction. The Word of God is our instructor. He is our schoolmaster. He is our teacher. And it gives us the correction and guidance we need to live our lives out in this world. Amen. Let me repeat that. The Word of God is our instructor and our guide that gives us the correction we need to live out our lives the way we need to. Where are we going to learn how to raise children? Now, we can go to Dr. Spock. I've never read his book, by the way. We can go to the psychologist of the day. We can go to different philosophies and doctrines of the day, and we can find out what they say. We can learn about timeouts, and we can learn about the mind of a child, and we can learn all about that. But let me make it clear, if we want to learn how to raise up a child, this book is the very best book on raising of children. Amen. This is going to give us the instruction. Now, if those instructors, those other ones, find something that's good and it works, guaranteed it's going to be something that comes from this book. They just happened upon it. They may not even understand it. But the truth of the matter is, the Word of God must be the instructor. In our marriages, I can't tell you how many times I've seen, and I've never bought one, those Cosmopolitans and those Vogue mag. Anybody have one at home? You can bring it to me. Amen. Yeah, never mind. All right, Johnny, you got yours at home, I'm sure. Yeah, me and you. I'm picking on Johnny for some reason today, I don't know. But the truth of the matter is, you know, I've been through the check stand, and on the front page of all of those is advice on how to have good marriages, how to have a satisfied life with your spouse or whatever it may be. Now, I'm going to be frank, I just don't believe that they're going to have the instruction I need on my marriage. But I know the Word of God does. The reality is today, where do we gain instruction? And it's found through the Word of God. And so we could look at a few thoughts on this. The first, we need to understand the Bible is the inspiration of God. It's inspired. The Word of God is breathed into the hands of man. And these words are the actual words of God. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is quick, and it is powerful, and is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and of spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." So this, the Word of God, this God-breathed book, this book that God put into this world through His inspiration, is the book that we need to lean on. It's going to connect to the heart. It's going to connect to the soul. And just as Bill Gates can maybe help us with a computer, why? Because he knows a little bit about computers. Just as the cookbook can help us in cooking, why? Because its focus is on the how to cook a meal. Then the Word of God is going to connect to the heart and to the soul of man. Why? Because we were made and created by God in His image. And who better than the Word of God to guide and direct us in our lives? Look, so understand the Word of God is the inspiration of the Word. And by the way, that inspiration doesn't mean that we use that term in our discipleship. We talk about that a little bit. And we talk about inspiration. There's really two thoughts on it. There's one inspiration that's the thought like, well, I'm going to go out and I'm inspired to paint a painting. Kind of like a created thought. But that's not what we're talking about tonight. Tonight we're talking about inspiration being moved upon and God breathed into the world. It wasn't like he inspired in a painting, but he moved and breathed upon this world the actual words that we have in this book. Look at the Word of God and let it challenge our heart. Look at the Word of God and may it be something that we can hold on to. Because the Word of God is an inspiration. Number two, the Word of God is powerful and alive. We just read the passage in Hebrews 4:12. What does it say? It doesn't just minister to the hearts and the intents and the thoughts of mankind, but it has a power and it's quick. It says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful. If you're just coming in, sorry that we started a little bit early. I apologize for that. We're in Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 1. We're looking at the Word of God, and we're looking at the benefits of it, and looking at it. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. And we see that we find instruction through the inspiration of the Word of God, but we also find it's powerful. I can't tell you how many times in my life as I've been reading the Word of God that it has challenged me in some area. I can't tell you how many times in my life the Word of God has corrected me in some kind of way. Each one of us this evening must understand that as we live our lives out, something needs to change us, something needs to guide us, something needs to give us understanding, and it's the Word of God that's designed to do just that. What do we see about it? Number one, we see it's quick. That doesn't mean that it's fast. That's what we think quick means, right? I saw it today on the nail driving competition. We had a great nail driving competition, and I saw some very quick hammers. Some were slow and quick. Some were very fast and quick. Amen? But that's not what we're talking about here. Quick means alive. We call it quickening. It means it has energy behind it. And certainly that implies quickness because obviously we see that in children. Children are quick, are they not? These kids, they get on their bikes and they're zinging through and they're quick back and forth. And such, and they're fast, but you know, more than just fast, they're alive. And when you see a kid that falls down, they're not as quick anymore. Like all of a sudden, a little bit of life is taken out of them as they cry and they, oh, my leg or my arm. But the reality is, when we look at that word, it means alive. It means to be moving. It means powerful. We see in the word it says, "For the word of God is quick," and number two, it is powerful. What greater thing to change our lives than the power of the Word of God? This is not a book that's just a tabletop item that you set on your table and you just let it sit there Monday through Friday. And if somebody comes over, they can pick it up and they pick up and they read it, you know, and they put it down and they maybe peruse through it. That's what we do with the Reader's Digest or some of those magazines we have, right? Nobody reads those magazines. They just pick them up and piecemeal through it. This Word of God is powerful. It's designed to be picked up on a daily basis. It's designed to be utilized, and it's going to change your life. Let me say this tonight. What book in the world has changed the world for over 2,000 years? It's the Word of God. The Word of God is quick. The Word of God is powerful. And I like this one. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is cutting. You know, sometimes in preaching, I so enjoyed just here recently, I went to a conference down in Lancaster and I got to sit and have somebody preach. And, you know, I like it when the Word of God challenges me. I like it when He carves a little bit out of my life and changes me. In my studies, as I get ready for the message, oftentimes, well before I present a message to you and you say, Pastor, you stepped on my toes. Well, don't worry, I stepped on mine just a few days before. Amen? Because it cuts. The Word of God's going to cut away sin. The Word of God's going to cut away trials and afflictions in your life and bear you down to the bone to see what the problem is. The problem in your marriage is not your spouse. It might be in your very heart, and the Word of God will parse that out. Let us make sure we understand the Bible is inspired of God, but it's also powerful and alive and cuts and divides and brings us to the very meat of the matter of where we need to correct, and that's within the hearts and the intents and thoughts. You know, we see the Word of God, where we find this instruction, we see it in the inspiration, we see it in the power and the aliveness of the Bible, and we see it that it needs to be a priority. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's that God breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I love the fact that God gives us a clear definition of what the prophet is for the Word of God. Number one, the prophet is in the doctrine. To learn the core facts about Christianity. The salvation of man, the death, the burial, the resurrection, Jesus Christ being God, the propitiation for sin, the sanctification of the believer, the resurrection to come, the coming back of my Savior. These are doctrines, all found out of the Word of God. Without this book, we would not have the knowledge of God. We would not know how to please God. We would not even have the knowledge of what sin is without this book. Amen? So, Pastor, why would I want to know what sin is? Without the knowledge of sin, you cannot repent of sin. Without repentance of sin, you cannot be saved. If God did not care for His people, He would have left us ignorant. We would have died in our sins and spend an eternity in hell. But God gave us this book, and it gives us the doctrines, the things. It gives us the reproofs, the corrections that we need, the reproofs, the corrections and how to get it right, and gives us instructions in righteousness. I love the fact that this Word of God doesn't give us the negatives, but it also gives us the positives. Amen. This is what you're supposed to do. Too often, maybe me as a parent, I probably do this. I tell my kids too often what not to do. Don't drink out of the milk jug. Amen. It's a good one, right? It's only for dad to do. Moving on. Don't go outside with your without shoes on. These are ones that happen in my house regularly. There's goat heads out there. Don't you know better? Amen. Step on one goat head, you're cured for life right there. I don't know how a little thorn that big can go all the way up into my eyeball from my foot, but it does. We often get our instructions in negativity. But the Word of God also gives us instructions in righteousness. It tells us how to live our life to be pleasing to God, to abstain from worldly lusts, and to put on the righteousness, put on love and joy and peace and long-sufferings and gentleness and goodness and meekness and temperance. Against such, there is no law. The truth of the matter is, we have the opportunity, the privilege, and we need to see the priority of the Word of God. How do we do that? Number one, daily in its reading. We should not neglect the Bible. There are certain things that bother me, and I try not to do them in my life, and I would encourage you to consider it. These are not doctrines, these are personal preferences. But when looking at the Word of God, I want to make sure that this is a priority of my life. I don't like this being set on the floor. If you had a sandwich and you dropped it on the floor, after 3 seconds, what do you do with that sandwich? Now, before 3 seconds, you eat it. Amen? 3-second rule. We all know the rules, right? But you set something on the floor, it's not good anymore. You get a lollipop or a sucker and you throw it out and set it on the sand, you're not going to put that back in your mouth, not for the world. We want to treat the Bible with respect and honor. And we want to read it and we want to make it priority in our life. And every morning I get up and I read the Bible and try to absorb the Word of God. In the night when we go to bed, oftentimes we can't sleep. We'll put on the Word of God. If you can't sleep, just let the soothing words of God come under your heart and it'll put you to sleep. Not in a boring sense. It causes peace in your heart. Daily read it. The Word of God is to be read and to be absorbed and to be studied out. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let us make daily reading a priority in our life. Let us make studying it a priority. It's not just reading it, but it's trying to get something out of it. Somebody years ago told me, well, I read the Bible, I just don't understand it. Well, I got that. How many people have read something they didn't understand out of the Bible? If every hand's probably up on that. Sure, we did. If we stopped reading when we didn't understand something, we'd never read the Bible. Because this is the Word of God. This is not supposed to be fully understood. This is the mind of God imparted to the heart of man. And so, yes, there's some things in here that are just rather complicated. And it takes maybe a year or a month or a year or a decade even to understand some of the truths from the Word of God. But some of them are pretty easy, like this one. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. Amen? I could do that one. Praise God. For thus is the, that's simple. For God so loved the world. I can understand that one. So my friend, study out the Word of God. Make it a study and find something to go away with. Every Sunday you should pray as you come to church and say, oh Lord, don't let me come into church and leave the same way I came in. Let me be different. Let me have a new truth. Let me have something new that I can apply to my life. And it might not be a new truth, but it might be a new application to your heart. Amen. Daily read it. Daily study it. I like this. Daily live it out. Can faith save you? James asked the question. He says, show you my faith by your words, and I will show you my faith by my works. Too often we want to just read the Word of God as an academia and we'll have all the knowledge, but if we don't put it into daily living, if we don't live out the Word of God in our daily lives, then we are failing as believers in Jesus Christ. The Word of God says to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good words. It doesn't say that, does it? It says see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen? You're supposed to be living it out. Meaning this, you're just nothing but a conduit. It's supposed to come in here. It's supposed to come into here. And it's supposed to come out to here. Amen? And it's supposed to constantly going in and constantly going in so that at any moment you're living out what you just read the night before, that morning as you're going in. Some of you that say, I don't understand. It doesn't seem like God's ever working in my life. Well, let me ask you a question. When was the last time you read your Bible? And if you have, when was the last time you really got something out of it? Because if you're getting something, it's going to come out somewhere. Whatever we are close to, we mimic. Amen? Good illustration of this. Went to a grocery store. It was Marvell's. I can talk about it now because Sammy's gone. Amen. To work. And I was at the grocery store and they were playing a song that I hadn't heard since the 1980s. And all of a sudden, everything from my childhood came back. And I found myself singing that song in the aisle, the cooking aisle of Marvell's. Why? Because I spent a lot of time years ago hearing that song. And what comes in, comes out. Amen? Each one of us, we need to understand, yes, the world does have an influence, but so if you don't have God coming out of you, maybe it's because you don't have God coming into you. Because I know that when you hang around somebody, you start talking like them, you start walking like them, you start acting like them. Amen? So let us understand where instruction comes from, but also what to think of instruction. Not just where it comes from, but what are we supposed to do with it? I mean, that's a good question. The Bible says, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, whoso loveth instruction, loveth knowledge. And so what is it that we're supposed to think of? We are to love instruction and desire it to be in our life. Now remember, instruction can be guidance, but many of the definitions for instruction were correction, reproof, chastisement. Do we love chastisement? Which one of us loves being chastised by God? Amen? But that's what God wants us to do. What we need to do is see the benefit of chastisement. Let's go back to the illustration of an educator in a school. When an educator gives a grade to a person that has maybe not done so well in math, any math majors here? All right, nobody's a math major, only one spelling. Did anybody do anything in high school? Raise your hand if you just did something, amen? Okay, good, all right, good. So we had some interaction in the school system at least. Oh, public school, I assume, like myself? Okay, we're good. I'm joking, of course, but I'm a product of Mariposa High. That's what it is, right there. The fact is, the teacher gives the negative grade. It's a reproof. It's a correction. But is that teacher trying to harm that student? In most cases, no. Amen? I think I have a couple of teachers. I'm sure they were happy when they gave me my negative grade. You know, B boundary in my class, F, 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 right? I did pretty good in school, actually. But the reality is when a teacher gives a negative grade, it's not to make them feel bad. That's why I kind of go against some of the newer philosophies about just, you know, whatever answer is fine as long as you gave an answer. That's not, you want to know you're wrong so you can get it right. And see, an instructor will teach with the intent of not harming, but of educating and making them better. Amen? So in essence, a person that gets a failing grade should rejoice that they now know what they don't know. Catch that verse 8. They know what they don't know. You know, the best thing you can have is knowledge of what you don't know so you can know, get to know what you need to know. Amen? I'm a tongue twister today. But if you don't, if you think you know it all, then you're not going to know what you don't know. Amen? But if you don't know anything, and you know you don't know anything, then everything is knowledge you need, and you're going to pay attention to it. The truth of the matter is, each one of us, we need the love, the instruction, the chastisement, the correctance, the guidance, the help, if you will, from the Word of God. A couple of thoughts. Proverbs 19:20. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. We need to be willingly listening to the Word of God, letting it change us, letting it, looking for those opportunities, those teachable moments in our own lives. Amen. Unless you've totally arrived here this evening, then you need to pay attention to the Word of God. Amen. That means every parent, you need to pay attention to the Word of God so you can be a better parent, because you, just because you're a parent doesn't mean you're a good one. Well, it's quiet now. Let's try that again. That was good. Just because you're a parent doesn't mean you're a good one. So you better be have your ears ready to listen and ready to look and say, can I be better at being a parent? Every Christian, if you're a Christian in here tonight, look, just because you're saved doesn't mean you're a good Christian. Amen? Some of you brags, I've been saved 40 years. That's fine, but are you a good Christian? Or are you mean and ornery? Amen. Are you still trying to accomplish just reading the Bible on a regular basis? Are you still trying to get a prayer life? Are you still struggling to even come to church on Sunday? I mean, yes, you're saved. That's free. That's a gift of God. But are you a good Christian? My friend, if you want to, you need to hear the instruction. When the preacher gets up, don't go to say, well, I've already heard this message before. That's the wrong attitude. You need to pray and say, Lord, give me something new today. If I come and bring Jesus, John 3:16, every one of you should be attentive and ready to learn. Why? Because you can learn from God. The truth is, hear and counsel, receive instruction. And what does it say? That thou mayest be wise in the latter end. Meaning that in the end of the matter, those that keep learning, those that keep trying, those that keep listening are going to be way better off in the end than the guy that knows it all already. I like success stories, right? And I like to watch those underdogs that go into school and they're challenged and they can't do it, and they're, you know, sports, and they want to do it, and they have to really work at it. And in the latter end, always, and these underdogs, they're always better off than the guy that had it easy and had it made in the shade, right? The one that got the scholarship. Oh no, the other guy's way better off. They're far more growth in that person than the one that just had to coast through. May we be ones that try to learn every moment, every opportunity. We should love instruction. We should rejoice when we fall into diverse temptations, as James says, and be happy that God is willing to teach us instead of just cast us off. And so we see Proverbs 19:20, but also we need to hold fast to instruction. Proverbs that the latter part of that verse, hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise, what? In the latter end. You got to stay with it. Not always will you have the truth immediately. Not always are you going to understand things. I've had things in the Bible that I've not understood for years. And then finally, one preacher maybe spoke on it or something, or one message or one book that I read finally made all things clear. You just need to stay with it, not get tired of it. Just keep going. Be wise until the latter end. Keep going and don't quit. Love instruction and hold fast to it. Then let's see the final thing. Let's look at the benefits of instruction. What are the benefits of instruction? Well, we see in the passage, Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 again, the Bible says, "Whoso loveth instruction, loveth knowledge." Now, there's a key word there. There's a colon and then a but. That but is a conjunction, meaning it ties the second part to the first part. So you can't separate them. But there, it's a compare and contrast. Remember, we talked about in Sunday school the poetry behind it. Well, this would be one of those compare contrast type things. And so that's what we're going to look at. It says, "But he that hateth reproof is brutish." Now, I don't know about you, but brutish is a fun word to think about. Amen? Anybody want to know what brutish means? I saw some. Is that in your Bible, or do you have that? Did you? All right, stupid. That's a hard word. That's kind of mean, Sonny. I can't believe you said that. In my Bible, it says stupid also. It's kind of harsh. Actually, though, I looked up what the word means, though. The interpretation is stupid, but the word itself means properly food consumed, that is, by extension of cattle, brutishness. Concretely, stupid, brutish person. It equates to the dumbness of an animal, like cows. Cows aren't that smart, amen? Anybody ever raise cattle? I mean, they're docile animals. They're good for eating. It was beef hot dog, so we ate some part of a cow today, amen? I'm not sure what part, but we ate a part of a cow. Our chili had turkey in it, I believe, is our chili. We did turkey instead. We're a leaner, kinder people, you know. But cattle are not the brightest things, and, you know, they don't know when to come out of the rain. They just stand in the field and eat, and that's about all they do, amen? And when we look at this with the thought of mindset of stupid, it's not just one with lack of intelligence. It's just the dumbness of this animal. You know, the world thinks they're wise, do they not? They think they have wisdom on how to marry, how to raise kids, how to have good homes, how to do finances. I was reading an article just the other day on finances and how you got to try to make it up the ladder and the corporate ladder and success. In the study today on when I was looking up some of the immorality in this world, I was looking up some articles on and trying to get some statistics for the morning's message, and I read some articles that were actually endorsing the inappropriate behavior of teenage kids, you know, and things of that nature, thinking it was fine. We should be more like the Netherlands and less like America, that kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, wow, this is just really dumb. Thank you. I was going to say stupid, but that's a mean word. We call it dumb. Brutish. Amen. See, the world has all sorts of philosophies, but the Word of God is what gives us wisdom. Look, if we hate reproof, if we hate getting the instruction in our life, if we push back at God when He corrects us on our bitter spirit or angry countenance toward our children or whatever it may be, if we are rejecting God's correction in our life and how to be a better husband or how to be a better father or how to be a better mother, if we're pushing that away, then we are just brutish people and we will fail. There will be victory in instruction, whereas those that hate reproof will be found brutish, meaning harsh, stupid, foolish animals. There is wisdom in the Word of God, though. We find Proverbs 2:1, there is victory in that word. And when we read it, go to Proverbs chapter 2, let's go back, and we're going to see a great passage on the wisdom of the Word of God. Talking about hiding and receiving the word and hiding the commandments. It says, Proverbs chapter 2, as we close the service, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." It sounds to me like there's somebody that is deeply desiring the Word of God in their life. Why? Because it'll give them victory. It'll give them the joy that they're looking for. When they do all those things, we'll understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge. The verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the what? The righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserve the way of his saints. Look, may I say tonight, when you get the word of God in your life, when you get wisdom in your life, when you allow correction in your life, and don't come to church with the know-it-all attitude, but come to church with the I'm ready to learn attitude, then God will be able to guide you, direct you, and bless you in your walk with the Lord. May every soul, for man and woman in here, be a person, to the person, decide, I want to be reproved of God. I want to be corrected of God. I want to be guided by God and let God's word change my life. That's a lot better than letting Cosmopolitan do it, amen? Or the Reader's Digest, or the Farmer's Almanac, for that matter. I don't know if they have guidance in that. They just have rain forecast. But the truth is this evening, wisdom is going to give you victory. The truth is tonight, if we don't have wisdom, we will fail. Where are we at in our Bibles today? Where are we at in the Word of God? Where are we at in correction? Which one of us in this room tonight says, I didn't need a message tonight. I'm just fine. I hope no one here. Each one of us needs to look at the Word of God and apply it to our life. And every one of us needs to be humble enough to say, I surrender all. That's when we gain wisdom. That's when we gain instruction. And that's when we gain victory in Jesus. Let's go to Lord in prayer tonight. You sure have been a good crowd this evening. Let's go to Lord in prayer and ask God to bless. Dear Lord, we come before you this evening. And we're, as I prayed at the beginning of the service, I'll pray again. My cup is full. We've had a wonderful day in church, Sunday school. And second hour service, what a joy it was to preach the Word of God and people so receptive and such a full house. And then tonight, the Word of God, and we had so much food and apple pie and ice cream, so many wonderful things. Now, Lord, I just ask that you would bless this service. The physical food is nothing compared to the spiritual nutrients we can glean from the Word of God tonight. May each one of us be moldable to the correction, to the instruction in the Word of God. May the teachings and the corrections that are given throughout through the pulpit or through the personal Bible reading change us in a special way. And may each one of us be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and ask that, Lord, you would show us it when we need to change. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. We're going to have a just